Hallelujah. That's why upbeat, fog enshrouded, you know, hand clapping, foot stomping, that may be good to be entertained. That's Christian entertainment. And we need Christian entertainment as an alternative. But never confuse it with the worship of God. It is not the worship of God. Someone said it best when they said the worship of God is conspicuous for the absence of self. So if I love a group called Truth. They used to sing a song, "We get lifted up when we lift Him up, when we praise the Lord." But it doesn't start with something for us, something that is horizontal from the pulpit or from the platform to the people, but something that is vertical. There are some churches that have redefined worship as vertical worship. They want to clarify, we're not here to entertain. Amen. Although I'm captivated, not entertained in the sense of the world, just sitting back and non-participant, just watching the boob tube, the television, or watching the praise team and just sitting back. See, I like that. You know, there's a lot going on. I'm not bored. Time passes quick. That's entertainment. Maybe a place for that. But when it's confused or integrated with worship and then begin to be called worship, shall we worship God in the holy city or in that holy mountain? The time is now come, Jesus said, that you will neither worship Him acceptably in that mountain or in that city. You will worship Him. They that worship Him must. It's an imperative. Say it's an imperative. It's an imperative. They must worship Him in spirit. Now, Pentecostal, if you just want a song to trigger you to shout, we may have that at the end of the service to celebrate. But we're worshiping God right now. This is not for you. How disappointing, huh? This is not for you to get triggered by emotionally. This is for Him. The heart of worship's about Jesus. It's not about us and what we want and what we would enjoy. Amen. I like that verse of scripture said, let the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. They that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth from your very center of your being. In spirit doesn't mean spiritual. Oh, people are looking like a calf at a new gate, like you never heard what real worship is all about. Well, I've got a challenge today, and that's to teach what worship, not just in this sermon. That's not the sermon, but this is the service. People flock to churches because of the music, the presentation, something to engage them so that they have a good time. I've not had a better time in my life than when I was lost in the presence of God. I may shout after that. I may run around this building. I may trot around it now, but I will. Times have changed. Under the anointing, I could run around it. Of course, when the anointing lifts, you'll have to pack me to the car. My legs won't work as well anymore. Amen. I get emotional while I sing, but listen, but I want God to know this is an offering. The Bible called it the calves of your lips. Praise and worship involves the calves of it. You see the sacrificial language. When it becomes a sweet-smelling savor to God, that's the incense. It's a sacrificial offering to Him. And when it's offered from the heart, and you truly are not just looking to get something from God, but initially to give something to God. Can you say, man, that He deserves? Not only does He demand it, the reverence and the recognition and the gratitude, He deserves it. If He didn't demand it, we should give it anyway. Amen? Because if it doesn't come from the heart, it doesn't matter what the words are saying, what things we mouth, what we may do. Amen. If it isn't coming from the heart, it is not in spirit, and it is not in truth. Man looks at the presentation, the outward appearance. God looks deeper. He looks upon the heart. Brother Venable, I wish we'd just do it this way, or we'd just do it that way. Well, why don't we just do it God's way? Instead of this way or that way, why don't we just do it God's way, in spirit and in truth? That shuts down some people because they're not in truth, putting God in His proper place in their heart. What's in it for me? What am I going to get out of this? Well, if you worship Him in spirit and in truth, He will inhabit the praises of His people. You will be blessed. You won't just get a blessing at church. When you walk out of here, goodness and mercy will follow you out of here. And goodness, oh, I'd like a little bit of a squeaky amen to that. At least some kind of recognition. Didn't it say, when the Lord is your shepherd, goodness and mercy, it was in your prayer, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And when this life is over, because of the goodness and mercy of God, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But while I'm here, before I get there, every day of my life, goodness and mercy will follow me. Praise God. That's not a... Amen. So put Him in the proper place, and not only will we be blessed, like I said, I could run. You all don't think I can't run. Amen. I can run. I just pay after I run, if you know what I'm talking about. Or anybody else getting there? Come on. How about them knees? If we ran around the building, it would be goodness and mercy. Y'all can be seated just for a minute. We're going to have another song, I'm sure. I want to illustrate something. I need goodness and I need mercy. Will you help me? Goodness and mercy. Oh, you can chew gum and be good. It's okay. We're not in school. You know what? We used to in school, I put it under my desk. And then when the class is over, I pull it out and I choose it again. Hey, you didn't do that? You wasted a whole... You know there's more juice in that.
ABC gum. Yeah, already been chewed.
Deuteronomy 28. Say it with me. Deuteronomy 28. If you hearken diligent, then you're going to follow me, okay? You think you can keep up? You think you can keep up? Okay. You sure? All right. If you hearken diligently unto the voice of thy God to observe and to do all that I command you this day, these blessings, everybody say goodness and mercy,
goodness.
Hallelujah, shall come on you and overtake you. And it doesn't matter where you go, goodness and mercy is going to follow you. And that's why it's the favor of the Lord. These blessings will come on you and they will overtake you. So I not only want you to keep up with me, I want you to catch me. Okay? Wherever I go, can you do that? I don't run that fast, dear sister. I do not run that fast. Y'all are good. Are you getting this today? These blessings will come on you. Everybody's trying to get a blessing. Get this right, amen, and the blessing will find you. Woo! And when you come in here with goodness and mercy following you in, and goodness and mercy following you out, and goodness and mercy following you like Ziggy, our dog, follows Pamela because he loves her more than anything or anyone. If she doesn't latch, she doesn't have to lock it. He can't pick the lock. If he could, he would. But if she doesn't close the bathroom door all the way, he's coming in. You know, to where she is, that's where he's going to be. She lays down on the couch, he's too big. His bottom is so big he can't jump up on anything anymore. I'm not even going to talk about any of that any further. Anyway, he can. But he'll lay down and lean up, just lay as close as he can to the couch, because that's laying close to mama. Amen. Goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. These blessings shall come on you and overtake you. Where? For the moment in church? No, that's where you get hooked up to goodness and mercy. They follow you out of church. They follow you home. They follow you into your family life. They follow you into your professional life or your vocation that you're in. They follow you to Walmart.
Amen.
Amen. They what? No Walmart people in here? Amen. I'm glad I married a Walmart girl. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. She don't know nothing about the big, they call them hoity-toity stores. Amen. Listen, are you ready? Thou hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God. These blessings shall come on you and overtake you. Blessed thou shall be in the city. And if you go in the field, you'll be blessed in the field. You're blessed when you rise up, and you're blessed when you lay down. You're blessed when you go out, and you're blessed when you come in. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. I want to get into something like that. And it doesn't cost you in the offering or the giving to get the blessing. No, there's not a special blessing other than, you know, the law of reciprocity. When you give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, shaken together, pressed down, running over. You're getting antsy. I see you're getting antsy there. Amen. Hallelujah. Goodness and mercy. Y'all had to catch me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 That's it. Now, they said, you got away from me. You ain't get away from me this time. Thank you. Give them a good hand today. Amen. Let's put God first before us. Amen. Let's look for a worship experience that puts him in the proper place and perspective in our heart and in our life. That in all things, worship should be top of the list. Amen. Christ having the preeminence. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you just get in your blessing, getting your emotions triggered, he does not have the preeminence. I don't know where he is in your life or your heart, but he isn't in the place that he's supposed to be. And he inhabits. Say he inhabits.
He inhabits
the praises of his people. Hallelujah. You know what that means? Inhabit. He shows up. No, he shows up when we assemble. But he manifests himself to us when he inhabits our praise. And the word inhabit in the Hebrew means enthroned. Enthroned. Say it with me. Enthroned. There should be a throne in your heart that no one can sit upon but Jesus. No person, not yourself. I heard Paul Yonggi Cho. Remember, had you ever heard him? He pastored the largest Assembly of God associated, affiliated church in the world in South Korea. 50,000 people came per service. In the bitter winter in Korea, snow everywhere. First service, 50,000 altogether, 10,000, five services to accommodate everyone. While 10,000 people were in worshiping and hearing the word, another 10,000 were out in the cold waiting to come in. We had a little shower today. Some people, holy rollers I call them. They get a holy thought, look out the window, and roll over. Amen. That's about all the holy rolling they're going to do. Listen carefully. Five times on Sunday, 10,000 people came in what they call the People's Church of South Korea. And Paul Youngie Cho said, I have a chair up front to remind me. The sermon is now. You know how this works. I have to get into the flow. I don't want it to stop and have to figure it out again. When it starts, I just go with it. So you say, Brother Vimble, we've only sung one song. Well, I'm glad we at least got one. But you've got a good illustration today of what God wants to do in this service. Amen. We're going to get more songs. But I want you to get this. Amen. It's not because you're leaving at 12 either. Amen. I just want everybody to get this. If we don't ever get this right, we're going to keep doing the same old thing over and over and over. You know what's going to happen before you get to church. You're going to have three songs, a special, maybe an offertory solo. And you're going to do this and do that. And we're just going to do it every Sunday, every Sunday, every Sunday, every Sunday. We do this before we do that. We do that. Oh, you can't do that until we do this. But after this, we can do that. Because this is how it's all set up. And we get into the routine. And a routine continued unbroken by the Holy Spirit directing the service will become a rut. Thank you for the... I heard one grunt and looking for an amen. A holy grunt. At least it was a holy grunt. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. It's the routine. We get into... We're conditioned. We have this before we have that. And we have that before we do this. And then we tie it all up in a neat little bow and it's over with. And if we don't have a change where the Holy Ghost can get in and get in us and move through us and have God in His proper place. When Isaiah went into the temple, he said, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord where He was supposed to be in our heart. But He was manifest in the temple. I saw the Lord, and He was what? High and lifted up. And His train, that you're talking, it wasn't some kind of big cape going. No, it was the very glory that emanated from His person and His presence of purity and holiness. And His train filled the temple. And I saw angels. These were not any kind, just any run-of-the-mill angel. These were very unique because these angels ministered in the very presence of God who is high and lifted up and His glory filling the temple. And they had three sets of wings. You see, your traditional angel has one set of wings, and please... Angels are not fat babies with wings that you see around Valentine's Day. Amen? Honestly, that's what fat baby with wings. Listen, when I need deliverance, I do not want God to send me a fat baby with wings. I do not want a baby angel. I want a full-grown warrior angel that'll come, amen, and demand that whatever the devil's plan for me is going to fail, and got a sword in his hand, amen, that when I utter the name of Jesus in prayer, that angel is activated. That's what I want. I want him to be 8'2", sitting down. Give me a fist bump. Hallelujah. Praise God. He inhabits the praises of His people. He was enthroned in the temple. And these angels said they had three sets of wings, called them seraphim. And it said they took two of them and they covered their face. And two of them, they covered their feet. No flesh, even angelic, celestial body could be shown. That's a good example to me. There's so much flesh in worship today. What is called worship, it's not worship. And neither is three dead traditional songs worship. One of the most misquoted misnomers is worship service on a sign out front at 11 a.m. We're going to walk in deader than a doornail, but we're going to worship at 11:05. Yep. We're just going to flip the switch and start worshiping. The band's going to play. The pianist is going to piano. That's what pianists do. They piano, right? She's going to do her thing, and we're all going to have a good time. We're going to sing page 322 for the 322nd time. But we all know it, and it's a good one. And that's worship. See, the woman at the well, she was so filled with gratitude. In John's Gospel, chapter 4, the first thing she wanted to do after he saved her soul and satisfied her soul. And if he really saves it, he'll satisfy it. Praise God. First thing she wanted to do, I want to worship God. And I don't just want to worship Him. I want to worship Him acceptably. You should have been there. You should have heard that piano player. Oh, my goodness. He played like Jerry Lee Lewis. Every time I say that, I think of the guy, evangelist guy, came to our church, and we had an upright piano, one of them big old upright piano. We didn't have a baby grand at that time. We had an upright piano, and he could play it like Jerry Lee Lewis. I mean, he played that piano. He banged that sucker. What he didn't know was that old piano was old, the legs were loose under it, and he was banging it with all of his might, and we were all having such a good time, and all of a sudden I saw it begin to shake, and I thought, oh Lord. You know, sometimes when you're not worshiping Him acceptably, when we're more into the rock and roll of Jerry Lee than we are the divine, holy, pure worship of God from the heart, but we're all having a good time. He's showing out is what He's doing. Hello? Yeah. Why did they cover their celestial face and their celestial feet, that none of their celestial body, for us it would be no flesh. No flesh. No flesh. You know what flesh wants? Entertain me. And let's call it worship. Let's give God what I like and what I love, and let's do it our way. Everybody say incense. When praise and worship is right, the Bible said it's like a sweet smelling savor to the Lord when we offer the calves of our lips. Everybody say sacrificial. Sacrificial. It's an offering, just like in the temple. It becomes something acceptable in His sight, not in our sight. We sang it. That song was written that a church had got into such ritual and calling it worship that it wasn't about Jesus anymore. It was about just going through the ritual Sunday after Sunday. It's easy to get in the flesh. Hello? If you want what you want instead of what He wills, you're in the flesh. You're letting the flesh rule. And your flesh always wants what it wants. Yeah. I could be blind. Poor little old kids, it's not their fault. Their mother's on the way home from work. Hadn't had supper yet. The kid is hungry, tired, sitting in a buggy at the Goodwill. I could be stone blind and know where I was when I hear all that screaming at one time. They got music playing, but this kills all of that. They're just screaming and carried on. Oh yes, I have went to the Goodwill before. Before we became such an important ministry. Now I go to the G&W fashion shop. I'm sorry?
Same place.
Oh. I thought we could fool everybody. $250 with a tag on it.
All right, go ahead. I'll let you tell them.
And it's an irregular. And I thought,
just right.
I'm an irregular. The irregular fits me perfect. God, you're so good by making me irregular. I would have had to pay $250 for this retail. I got it for $7.50. Well, they get a load of me. Amen. That's what's wrong. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Him. But it was about us while He was on the cross. Like the song said, we were on His mind. What held Him to that cross wasn't those nails. What held Him to that cross wasn't Caesar's Rome and all the authority of the Roman legions. Amen. He could have called the angels, the warrior angels of heaven for deliverance, but He didn't open His mouth as a lamb before His shearers. He did not open His mouth. They better be glad to high heaven that He did not, because He said, Peter, put up your sword. Amen. If I wanted to be set free from what I'm giving myself to them to do to me, amen. Listen, He was a victim of our sin, but He wasn't a victim of Rome. He wasn't a victim of Pilate or those soldiers at the foot of that cross. He laid Himself down. He laid His life down. No man taketh my life from me. I have the power to what? Lay it. They couldn't have killed Him if He didn't let them. He had to give up the ghost. And if I lay it down, I can take it up again. Thank God He took it up again and come out of that tomb. But He did it for you and me. And while He was on that cross, His love for us is what held Him fast to the cross. He deserves better than my leftovers on Sunday morning. He deserves better than a praise leader that has to shame me into worshiping Him. He deserves better than just an hour in the service and go right back out into the world and not live for Him, because we want to please them more than we love and revere Him. He deserves better than just showing up when I feel like it. He deserves our best, not our leftovers. And it all begins with where He is in our heart. Where does He have the preeminence? And if He isn't, what do we have to offer Him? No matter what we do, where we sit, what influence we're under, if you hearken diligently unto my word, to observe it, to obey it, these blessings will come on you. They'll overtake you. And I found out why they didn't give Him that priority and they didn't obey Him. A little further over in Deuteronomy 28. Because there's two sides to that coin. How many's got a coin? Anybody got a coin? I got a dime, but you can't see it. Wish I had a half a dollar. There's a face on the front, and Lord knows what's on the back. Amen. There's two sides. Deuteronomy 28, these blessings will come on you and overtake you. And I don't feel like running around the building just now, so you all going to get a break through this. Besides, you're too pretty to be what they are. This is a side of God, and this is a side of the sowing and reaping law of God that people don't want to hear but desperately need to hear. Too many people are sowing the wrong seed all week long and coming to church on Sunday praying for a crop failure. The crop isn't going to fail. You know why? Because God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, without exception, that shall he also reap. If he sows unto the Spirit, he'll reap righteousness. If he sows to the flesh, he will of the flesh reap corruption. The song leader that's out there in some big church singing these songs with such joy and these songs with words of such glorification of God, that decides to have the affair, that decides I don't have to obey him, I just have to act like I'm devoted to him. Without obedience, there is no devotion to him. You can't express it with tears from your eyes. You can't express it by enthusiasm when you're praising him. There are singing groups that I wish I didn't know how corrupted they are and were. I love the songs still. There are singers, gospel singers, that I wish I didn't know what I know. My innocence is gone, and it hurts to find out that someone that sang the glories of God, that inspired us to worship, really worship, were phony. How do you know they were phony? Because the Bible said if they were of us, they were truly born again, they were truly saved and become new creations, not just church-going singers, but new creations. They went out from us because they were not of us. For if they were of us, mark it down, they would not have went out from us. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he's not some wishy-washy, half-committed, half-baked. He is a new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. We've got a crisis in the Church of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people claiming to be saved that have never met the Master. How do you know? Because the old isn't gone and the new hasn't come.
Amen.
Don't judge me. Well, let me tell you what Jesus said about what you just said in your heart or thought in your mind. You will know a tree by the fruit it bears. Listen, this is important. A good tree cannot. Am I biblical so far? Bring forth evil fruit. You mean I can't sin and need to repent? I didn't say that. I'm talking about the perpetual cycle of fruit bearing. A good tree cannot perpetually bring forth evil fruit. Another holy grunt, one looking for an amen. That's the words of Jesus, by the way. So when you reject those words, it's not me, it's your master, or the one that should be your master. And an evil tree cannot perpetually, it means perpetually, bring forth good fruit. So make the tree good and the fruit correspond, the product. Or make it evil. Does he want people to be evil? No, but he wants them to be real and he wants them to be authentic. And there's a better chance for a revival in the jailhouse than most church houses. I said that. Put it in writing. I meant it. Because I preached in the jailhouse. They were bringing forth evil fruit, and that's what put them in the jailhouse. But thank God, when we got in the Bible study and the Holy Ghost came in that place, 32 people bearing evil fruit raised their hand and said, I want to change. Amen. I want to repent. Oh, that's a jailhouse prayer. They just do that to get out of prison. Friend of mine, I saw some follow-up of that. There were people born again in that jailhouse. And when people are born again, that's the product of a true revival. It's not a few saints. Revival right now is a one-week or 10-day meeting scheduled around something through the year. And we say, we're going to have a revival. next week. Seriously? Okay. That's wonderful. 10 days. 10-day revival. That's fabulous. What happens on day 11? What happens on day 11? The evangelist is packed up and went to another 10-day meeting that is called revival. So we had revival in the jailhouse. How did he know it was revival? Because people got right with God. Holy Spirit came in that place, and it didn't start out good. It started out bad. They broke all the cells open. The guard took me down to a holding cell, said you can go in there and hold your meeting. And they left. Sunday, in the Sunday service, they let all the people that have good behavior come to a general meeting area for a church service if we want to. These were people, a lot of them, just wanted to get out of their cell for a while, do something different. And the guard stayed there with the chaplain or minister. They left me all by myself. By the way, they blood typed me when I went in. And automatically, it enhanced my prayer life. When they take your blood type, you know, figure you may be held hostage, get hurt, you may need blood. It makes you think a little differently. You know, just don't say, God is great, God is good, bless the service, hallelujah. No, God, I need you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So they left me. And these two guys, obviously, that had a grudge against each other, had an opportunity to get at each other. Maybe they were gang members. I don't know. But I know. We all got in. I said, would you please bow your heads? We're going to pray over this Bible study today. And I bowed my head to pray, and I heard boom! And it was fist against flesh. And they can mimic that sound in a movie. Maybe they're hitting a big slab of bacon. I don't know how they do that. But this was, then there was blood flying. And then there's two people on the floor engaged in trying to literally kill each other. And I'm standing there, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And I told the guys, I said, if somebody doesn't stop them, they're going to shut down the Bible study. And I can't come back anymore and help you. And a bunch of guys got around them and pulled them apart. Guards still hadn't come. But one of the guys went to the cell door and began to scream for the guards. They came, took those two guys away. A guy came in with kind of a hazmat type of situation because there was blood on the floor spattered. They hurt each other that bad. And he mopped up the blood in a bucket with a squeegee and marked it with some kind of sanitizer one more time with gloves on, and he left. And I had 1 hour to preach and teach. And I had about 15 minutes left. And the guard, such chaos, the guard said, do you want to use the rest of your time? They wanted to get me on out so they didn't have to pay attention to nothing down that way. They had a lot to do over this way. And I said, I want it. I want that 15 minutes. And as soon as the guard left, he said, I'll be back in 15. The moment he left, the Holy Spirit just came in that room. And I said, guys, I'm going to tell you something. All of this diversion that happened right here today is because the devil that has you bound and blinded doesn't want you to hear about a God who loves you enough to give his son, and a son who came and died for you, that is able to set you free from the blindness and the bondage that you were in. I said, all of this is because the enemy is afraid of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the person of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And it got quiet. You could hear a pin drop. And I brought a gospel message in 15 minutes to them. You're saved. I don't need to try to stay within 15. You just need what you're hearing today, obviously. Because churches are good at offering people what they want. And people gravitate. Listen, I like the way they do it. I like the way this does it. I like the way this does it. Well, how about God somewhere in the mix? How about what God wants, desires? What becomes a sacrificial offering? The calves of our lips, because it's connected directly to our heart. It's not just singing the words we see up here. It's coming right from the heart. A sweet offering, the calves of your lips, a sweet smelling, again, sacrificial incense. Hallelujah. A sweet smelling savor unto the Lord. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. I saw him how? Like he always is and should be, high and lifted up. Everybody say a lofty view of God. Amen. When did we lose the holy? When did we need a guy to get young people by not reverencing the holy? Just put on a pair of $1,500, I'm serious, $1,500 tennis shoes. That'll impress the young people when I prances out in my $1,500 tennis shoes. Amen. And let me put two or three big holes in my pants so I can be cool. Well, who do you want them to look at? Yeah. Who do you want them to look at? Who are they going to look at? They're going to look at you, old hoss. And you're not, amen, the spotlight in true worship is not on the worship leader. And it's not on the pastor. And it's not on the musician. It's on Christ. It's on God. Entertainment is fine, but never confuse it with worship. And don't let worship be 30 minutes in church. Let it be something that's integrated into your life from the rising of the sun. How many know when you get up in the morning, the sun has risen, to the going down of the same, what's supposed to happen? The name of the Lord shall be praised. Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to go further than that. I will rejoice and be glad in Him. Because it's not just letting me see another 24-hour period. It's the person who saved me, who's keeping me safe, and who's walking with me every step that I take. He deserves better. And look what we've made it. See, that song was written for ritual. It could also be written, we just sang it, it could be written for the entertaining presentation. Oh, you should see how they worship over at that church. Everybody's on their feet. Their hands are up. They're praising God. They're slapping their knee. They're stomping their feet. Well, that's really wonderful for them. But what about him? Coming back to the what?
Heart.
The heart of worship. Because it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. That may be the song that was written out of a pastor's church experience. He canceled. It got so bad. He felt like God was being so short-changed. The people were loving the quote-unquote worship service. But God was not being worshipped in what? Spirit and truth. The truth was, it was about us and what we enjoy. And that's why even celestial beings in the presence of a holy God, they had to cover their celestial body that was showing through the robes, their feet and their face. Everybody say, when flesh gets in worship, God is dishonored. I want you to say that again, because a lot of people just flat out don't believe that, but it's absolutely true. Even celestial beings couldn't let their celestial bodies be exposed in the presence of God. And he created them to cover while they ministered in his presence with two wings, three sets of wings. With two they covered their face, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they did move about, because they were worshiping in the presence of God. And what happens when we assemble together? What does Jesus say? There, right here in Tampa, Florida, in the back room of whatever place this is. It's a lot of fun, I can see that. Amen. This is where we would put Ditter if she was here today. Put her right in there, she'd be fine through the service. I love Elizabeth Baldry. We had a good time with her. She's in heaven laughing at us right now. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, because it's all about you.
Hallelujah.
It's all about you. What he did, he canceled the worship service, and people say, oh man, I want to worship. I want to worship. And he said, when we start, he did it for I don't know how many days or Sundays. He said, but when we start worshiping again, I want to make sure that it's vertical, that it's for him. And then the verse is written in this. Do you understand why the song was written now? There's more than a song. I'm sorry. Repentance. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. Now, I like particular types of music, and you may like a different type of music. We introduced contemporary praise songs at our church, and they were singing out of the hymnals, and that was a big transition. So there's different modes of worship, but we got to separate the entertainment, and we got to separate our lives from following Jesus from this kind of shallow, superficial, you know, mental ascent to his lordship, to a deeply devoted commitment to his lordship. The Bible said his seed remains in us when we truly become saved. His seed remains in us that we sin not. Does that mean you can't sin or won't have a propensity or proclivity? No. What it means is it'll go against your new nature, because your nature is his nature in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Amen? Amen? So you see why we can't just keep doing it our way and going out of here without goodness and mercy following us out of here, and expect all of these blessings in our life because we went to church on Sunday. We were highly entertained, highly enthusiastic. But when you walk out of here, either goodness and mercy is going to, number one, come upon you. These blessings will come on you, the favor of the Lord. But if it comes upon you, it's going to follow you out. And it's going to follow you into the world. And no matter what kind of traps the devil has set for you, when God is in his proper place in your heart and in your life, you're going to be able to overcome every snare and every trap of the devil. Amen. God is going to be with you, and his seed is going to remain in you. And if you do sin, it's going to feel, you're going to feel it enough that you're going to deal with it. You can't perpetually. The Bible said in 1 John, he that committeth sin. Has anyone ever sinned since you got saved at all? You're not going to sin and lie, I see. You're going to be honest. I don't mean willfully. I don't mean just perpetually. You know what that word committeth in 1 John? He that committeth sin is, John puts it real clear, is of the devil. I don't care if he sits in church. I don't care if he reads the Bible. I don't care if he talks in tongues. The devil can talk in all kinds of languages. But if the Holy Spirit isn't given the utterance, that's all it is. Sounding brass. Tinkling cymbal. A distraction instead of an instruction from the Lord. Hello? I've seen too many shipwrecks. I've lived too long. I know too many things. I interact with pastors from all over the world through the organization I'm affiliated with, All Pro Pastors International. And there are pastors hungry for holiness, hungry for righteousness, hungry for revival in Nigeria, where thousands are being killed for the faith. And there are pastors here in America that are hungry for money, hungry for wealth, hungry to be the star of the show when people come to church. And if worship doesn't just get beyond an emotional response to a particular song, we've never put God in His proper place. He's not sitting on the throne of our heart and life. Paul Yonggi Cho had a church of 50,000 every Sunday. He said, there's a chair beside my chair. He said, no one sits in that chair. And they asked him, why? Is that for someone special? He said, oh yes. He said, that for someone very special. He said, if Billy Graham came to my church to preach for me, and he started sitting in that chair, I'd say, no, you sit in my chair. This chair is reserved. He said, let me tell you something. I heard him speak in Winter Haven before he went to heaven. He said, without the Holy Spirit, he said, I am Korean farmer. He said, the only thing I can do is plant and hoe a garden. I'm good at agriculture. I was a farmer. I was dying of tuberculosis. They gave me up to die, and I was dying, literally. And a Christian nurse that was Spirit-filled, he said, came to my bed and said, do you know that Jesus can save your soul and heal your body? He said, no. She said, well, let me tell you what He can do if you will let Him. If you'll repent of your sin and receive Him as your sovereign and Savior, your Lord and Savior, He will change your heart, change your life. He will save your soul, and you can call upon Him, call upon God in His name, and God will heal you and raise you up. He said, I received Him as my Savior. I called on God. He healed me and raised me up. And then I wanted what she had. And I asked God to fill me with the Holy Ghost. And He did. And He said, without the Holy Ghost, I'm no good for nothing but to be a poor Korean farmer out in a field. But He's ministering to 50,000 people every Sunday, 10,000 per service, and got the anointing to do it through 5 services. And he said, that's why it's to remind me when people fill this place and miracles occur, to remind me it is not me, it is not my flesh, it is not my ability. This chair is for Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit sits in this chair. When He's seated, thou ask Him to help me to preach. Praise God. Hallelujah. And when He comes, things begin to happen in the audience. Hallelujah. A general in the army dying of cancer had went to the best military and the best hospitals in Korea and even other hospitals to find a cure was in the audience. He came down after one of those services, and that man's testimony And they laid hands on him in the name of Jesus, and God healed him, and it was on record. It had a paper trail. It made the news because he was a general in the army. But when you're dying of cancer, all of that prestige, all of that authority, all of that power is meaningless. But when God steps in and you give your heart to Jesus and you forgive your enemies, you're a new creation. It opens the door. It paves the way for God to come and do mighty things in the midst of His people. Hallelujah. This chair is for Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. Paul said that in all things, Jesus Christ having the preeminence. Hallelujah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, preeminent Christ, for the king reigns. A kingdom is where a king reigns. It's not a mystical place, it's a spiritual place, but it's not mystical. A kingdom is where a king reigns in absolute, undisputed authority. And until He is Lord of my life and yours, the kingdom hasn't come. How can we claim a kingdom where the king is not preeminent? Where the king is not bowed to? He can be believed on, but I'm talking about bowing to. We got this condition. We receive the Lord as our Savior. Give me my ticket to heaven. And have no more obligation or responsibility to Him, to serve Him, to obey Him, to devote ourselves enough to He who gave Himself for us, that we would hold Him in a place where He is worthy of not our leftovers but our everything.
Amen, brother.
And without that devotion, we've got a form of godliness in religious trappings that denies the power to change the trajectory of our life from the inside out. And we can get people in a building, bodies in a building, but the mandate is to go into all the world and make, get them saved primarily. You can't go to stage two without stage one. Make disciples unto me out of all nations. A disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Not just His teaching, but His example. A true disciple doesn't just learn what his master knows. He has a desire beyond that. He's becoming what his master is. Hello? For whom he did foreknow, he did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son. Ephesians 5, 1, 2, be ye followers of God as dear children, with humility, with commitment, and walk in love. Who's the example? The template once again. And walk in love even as Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us, a sweet smelling sacrificial savor unto God. Amen. Walk in love even as He walked in love, becoming what He is. So, we can go through the motions and never have a revival. You can go through the motions and never be revived. But we have a challenge here this morning. If He isn't Lord of everything, admit it. I want it to be an admission on all our part, and I'll lead it. If he isn't Lord of everything in my life, make no mistake about it, he is not Lord at all. Because Lord doesn't mean someone you allow here and there, hit and miss, piecemeal. It's someone you bow to and commit to and acknowledge. There's no question that he is Lord. The question isn't, is he Lord of all creation? Yes, he is. Is he Lord over all the angels in heaven? Yes, he is. Is he Lord of all? Yeah. But is he your Lord? Is he my Lord? He's the Lord Jesus Christ. It starts with Lord. And the kingdom of God is where God reigns, Christ reigns in our heart, not sin and not self. And when he reigns and he rules, there's a freedom to serve God. Amen. For the grace of God, this grace that covers us, that has appeared unto all men, teaching us to just do whatever we want. God's got it covered with mercy and grace. What does grace teach us? That we can sin without consequence, without accountability, responsibility. The devil will destroy you with that. He'll destroy you with that attitude. Because he'll have a legal ground to accuse you, because you won't confess it, you won't get it under the blood, so without the blood applied, you have to answer for it, and you can't do that. God will not respond until we get real and get right with him. That's why David said, if you marked iniquity, if you were just looking to find a fault, nobody could stand. But thank God you offered me mercy.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Create in me a clean heart. Psalm 51. That should be the cry of true Christians. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew in me. We call revival renewal. It's part of that reviving, renewing. Renew in me a right spirit. And listen to this. Don't grieve or quench the Holy Spirit through disobedience and rebellion and half-baked, half-hearted devotion. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. When the Holy Spirit is grieved because we're adamant, we walk in, we walk out, we never do business with God. When he is grieved, it's like a lampstand is removed. You can go through the motions, but when you walk out that door, everything comes right back. Right back to the same old, same old. Spiritually deadness, spiritually deafness. We hear, but we don't listen. We hear the word, but we're not listening. Because if you listened, it would change everything.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Because the Word of God will become a lamp to your feet and a light to your pathway. And you would see the wrong path. And you would mark your steps to make sure that as a child of light, you're walking in the light.
Amen,
in the truth. The truth will make you free. We're about done today. Praise God. God wanted to do something in this service. Started with some praying in line with the Spirit. A song in line with the Spirit. And I pray this sermon was in line with the Spirit. Let me ask you, was it biblical today? Was this sound doctrine? Do you hear it everywhere you go being resounded because God's message? No, you will not. There are people that planned their message last night to give you this morning. I studied last night. I came here with no plan except to obey God. And from the look on most faces, God hit the nail on the head. Can you say amen? I don't see a lot of people saying, that's it, preacher. Tell them. I used to get that. People leaving, I wanted to shake everybody's hand. We'd have a Holy Ghost service, and somebody would come. Oh, man, they'd come walking out and say, grab me by the hand, look me in the eye, and say, preacher, I appreciate that message today. You really, and he'd look over the shoulder, you really told them. You really told them. And I thought, did you ever consider it was for all of us and not just for all of them? This is for me too. I want to get it right, because he inhabits the praises of his people. And it means he's enthroned, which means he's put in the proper place of reverence and preeminence in our heart. And then we worship him from the heart, and he receives that worship as a spiritual sacrifice acceptable unto God. And when he's pleased with us, he shows his pleasure by blessing us. Amen. Hallelujah. Where and how? When you go and it will, if he's in that proper place, it will lead you to an obedient life. You won't be perfect in it, but you'll have a heart for it. And if he sees you have a heart for it, he will help you with your weak flesh. Amen. Yes, he will. Hallelujah. And it don't matter where you go, these blessings will come on you. And they will overtake you. And sometimes they're little, and sometimes they are vast and big. Amen. Sometimes it's the little things that shows me his favor. I left my phone in Lowe's plumbing department. My cell phone. I got what I went after, but I left my cell phone in the plumbing department of Lowe's. I know where I left it, because I laid it down to get something that I've been procrastinating to do for my wife. And I got a big thingy, and I had to put it in the buggy, and I laid my phone down to do that. So I'm making a real good excuse. I'm not just losing it yet. I'm just forgetful like the rest of you. Amen? Give me a good amen on forgetfulness over here. Amen. You don't have to be my age to be forgetful. But I left my cell phone. Now, it's something I just, that's important. They got a lot of stuff. Oh, yeah, had a AAA card in it. Thank God it wasn't a credit card. All they could do is call AAA. Anyway. I don't want to use that up either. But anyway, I got home. I looked at the clock. They're closed. So I decided to call my phone. See if anybody's still in the store walking around would hear it somewhere in the store. Nah. Called it. Nah. And it's like the Lord spoke to me and said, why don't you ask me? And I thought, Lord, it's just, is my bad. I hate to bother him with little things when it's my bad. You ever felt that way? It's my bad. I hate to bother God with all the needs with my cell phone that I left because I'm just a doofus. Anybody ever been a doofus and you did something that a doofus would do, and you hate to ask God to help you because you were a doofus? But he loves doofuses too. Thank God there's grace and mercy for a doofus. He loves you. I don't know why he loves us. Praise God, but he does. And so I went in the bathroom and I said, Lord, I'm going to call one more. I give up. I'll go out there when they open and see if they find it or somebody took it. Lord, would you let somebody pick up? I'm going to call it with your phone one more time. And I picked it up and I dialed the number and it ring, ring. Hello? Hallelujah. That's why they call me Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. When God moves, I say Hallelujah. Just right out of there. I don't have to think about it. Hallelujah. And I don't know what kind of ringer Pamela put on it. But it must have been very aggravating. Because the lady said, I left my cell phone at Lowe's. Are you a Lowe's personnel? And she said, yes, I am, sir. She said, I heard something. I was walking down an aisle, and I heard something making an awful sound. And I thought, I literally called it to see what it was, and it was your traditional ring. She's got some crazy sound for Matthew, some crazy sound for somebody else. What is it for her?
I forget, but I know it.
Yeah.
That's Sherry. I'll answer that.
Yeah. Anyways, crazy sound. This was evidently got her attention. She said, I said, what in the world is that awful sound? I believe the Lord made it sound like some crazy something that she had to stop and hunt for. It got her attention. Glory be to God. She said, we're going to put that in the safe. You can come get it anytime you want it. And I thought, Lord, I'm so glad. Because some of these little things, all it's showing me is that even when I'm a doofus, if I will trust you, because you have this place in my heart and in my life, if I will trust you, even a doofus can get a prayer through. Glory to God. And that makes me, I don't know if you've ever been a doofus. You may be a doofus. You may be an undercover doofus. Amen. Only your husband or wife knows for sure. Anyway, are your affiliates at work? But I'm going to tell you something. God loves His children. God loves His children. You give Him first place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And His righteousness, that pleases Him. You're already right with Him through the blood. Now be right with Him through putting Him in that right place in your heart and in your life. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. In earth and in me, just like it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. It'll change everything from that point forward. Amen. He said, go out there and look in there. Get rid of your worries about provision and protection. You can forget about it. God's got it now. Provision. Look at the lily of the field. They don't toil. They don't spin. God has designed a way for every need that they have to be met and bloom. He said, but Solomon in all of his riches, wealth, and glory was not clothed as one of these lilies of the field. And if God, your Father, your King, your Captain, your Commanding General, your Lord, your Master, your Sovereign and Savior, if He clothed the lilies of the field, can He not clothe ye? Oh, ye of little faith, can you say amen? Look at the fowls of the air. Amen. God provides for them. Amen. They're not sweating it. They're not worried sick. They know when they get up, the early bird gets what?
The worm.
Who put the worm there for the early bird? God did. And the bird knows it. I don't have to worry because the worm's going to be there if I get there before another bird. So I'm getting up early. Is this worth getting a hold of? Goodness and mercy? Following you home? Following you to Publix? Following you within your... Da-da-da-dun. Da-da-da-dun. Everybody say family. I'm doing this to mine. You don't have to do it to yours, but I got a creeping feeling kind of in my back here. I got a feeling that your family's not a whole lot different. Adam's family ain't got nothing on us. Hallelujah. Praise God. God loves you today. Hallelujah. Do you have a particular song? We're going to quit. It's time to quit.
Okay.
everything's going to be okay. We got a good report. We were going to pray before we left for him, but God's already taking care of that. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for that. Praise God. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. The more I seek you, can we, wait a minute, I haven't found what I'm looking for yet. I know there's something we need to close with. How about 10,000 reasons to bless the Lord?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now we're going to sing this, but I want you to sing it differently than words on a page, on a screen. I want you to think about what he's done for you when he gave his son for you. And say, I'm not going to wait for a feeling, because I know for a fact that God loved me enough to give his only begotten son to save my soul. I'm going to reject these thoughts of doubt and fear. I'm going to cast down these wicked, devil-inspired imaginations that disqualify me from the blessing of his person and presence in my life. I'm going to quit this nonsense. And I'm going to quit playing church. And I'm going to quit having a shallow, superficial relationship with Christ and with God my Father. I'm going to commit to follow him. And I'm going to worship him from the heart, because I'm stimulated by 10,000 times 10,000 reasons to do that. When that song came out, new, we've all heard it, kind of got over it, but when it was brand new, it began to touch people. Going down a highway, a man was listening to this song, a Christian, and it began to speak to his heart. It wasn't just about going to church. It was him personally wanting to thank God for being so good to him, for the gift of his son. Not how much money's in the bank, car he's driving, clothes he's wearing, but the robe of righteousness granted because of the Hallelujah. Suffering of Christ. He pulled over to the side of the road, off the road, got down on his knees beside his car, raised both hands and said, Jesus, I thank you. He left the radio, this song, it's a testimony when it first came out. He left the radio on, and he is on his knees by his car, praising God. See, when it starts coming from your heart, you don't have to be in church. You don't have to be stimulated by a praise leader prancing around up on the stage. They don't have to hit a high C on a Hammond organ. Can you say, man, because the worship is from your heart and you make a temple to worship in right in your temple. Praise God. And he's there on his knees praising God. Well, there's a guy coming down the road, sees him beside his car with his hands raised. And he said, that man must be in trouble of some kind. And so he pulled off beside the road. And he came over and said, sir, may I be of any assistance? Can I help you? I've got a cell phone if you need help. And he said, no, man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cause any problem. He said, I'm a Christian, and I was listening to this song. You know what happened? This is true. This guy said, you know something? I had that song on my radio when I pulled over. He said, I know what you mean. And both of them, one standing and the other with his hands raised, both of them took a moment beside the road. That ought to happen in church every single Sunday. Amen. But if it don't let that stop you. Amen. Your body is the temple. Let there be some praise up in here. Hallelujah. Let there be some gratitude up in here. Let there be some worship up in here. Hallelujah! Woo! Before the rocks cry out, I'm going to praise him. The trees of the field will clap their hands. And before the stones cry out, Robert is going to cry out. Before the trees start clapping their hands, Bobby's going to clap his hands this morning.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah. I haven't been called Bobby in so long. I like that. It makes me feel young. Brother Bobby. Hallelujah.